Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
I need a computer.
PC Monster Race.
If I don't recover these dark souls, then the world's going to end.
You got it.
Shit.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And today, Jackson,
what?
And listeners, we are joined by a very, very special guest. For the first time, please welcome Lauren Bonner.
Woo! Thank you. My first time on the pod. It's always very exciting to make a debut.
Yeah, this is a debut. That's true.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thank you for coming on, because at this point, our listeners will know you're very brave for putting your hand up to volunteer for Thumb Cramps. A very normal video game review podcast.
That's true. The most normal podcast possibly out there, I would
and
say.
And Jackson, this is another week of PC Monster Race.
That's true.
So tell us what you're reviewing.
Hey, today... Today we're going to be looking at 3D pinball for Windows, Dash, Space Cadet, and other games.
Hell yeah.
Now, if you had a Windows XP as a child, or as a grown-up?
I know I did.
Yeah.
This is... was the game that was bundled with the Windows XP.
The pinball game.
The pinball game. Did you ever play it?
I feel like I saw it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I played it. I spent a lot of my childhood, like, growing up, like, watching my brother play games.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that Solitaire, Age of Empires big.
Yeah, that's a big one.
On the computer.
That's a big one. What would you do then on the Windows XP? When you got computer time as a child, what would you be using it for? Because for me, I was thrashing the pinball.
Yeah. On the Windows XP, I would change my desktop wallpaper. I would change the theme, so all the toolbars were pink.
Good stuff.
Did you guys, you could do that?
Yeah. I remember spending you'd spend hours customizing that.
Yeah.
The toolbar and the desktop and alerts, your mouse. Oh.
Absolutely. There were online games, honestly. There was was that Windows XP era? I feel like, do you remember Sissy Fight? Did you ever play that?
Sissy Fight.
I never played Sissy Fight.
It was like an online game where you had little avatars that were schoolgirls, kind of like the style of animation. Like they've got big heads and small bodies.
Yeah.
And it was just like a click turn-based thing where you'd click and be slap. Scratch, insult. And then you could also do, you had a speech bubble where you could say things to the people.
Were you playing with real people online?
Or was I think that was.
That's
it
awesome.
It was pretty limited chat, so you couldn't really get, pedophiled.
Hey, that's a good...
That's awesome. That's what
that
you want.
Unfortunately, was also the era of it being very easy to get pedophiled.
Yeah. The Windows XP era was...
And I'm in a game where you play as a schoolgirl fighting other schoolgirls would definitely be, a fertile ground for a pedophile to prowl.
Yeah.
So luckily I'm here today, untainted, unharmed.
Nice!
And I made it out.
That's awesome.
So Lauren spent her time on Sissy Fighter not being pedophile, then you were playing pinball.
I was playing 3D pinball for Windows... Mm. dash Space Cadet. Well, you couldn't get pedophiled at all because it wasn't online.
Seems super safe. Yeah.
So I learned. So I played this. I found a place to play it in the modern day because it's not like available. I was like, maybe it'll be on Steam, and I typed in just pinball on Steam, and I got hentai pinball as the first thing came up, and I considered it because I thought it was funny, but I didn't. I just tracked down this one.
How do you make
pinball hentai?
Well, yeah, porno pinball.
I don't know. It's just pinball at the end of the day. I guess.
Pinball is one of those games that they can make anything. And I don't think any like licensing or things like that are apt to the pinball industry. It seems like you can do. I see like Mad Max pinball. Like, do you think they're paying royalties?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, they probably just like hire an artist. They're like, well,
draw me Mad Max. It's going on the pinball. Do they even like if you're making a pinball machine? Do you like change? Because you know, with pinball, feels crazy. But I feel like I want to explain pinball. Like, for the hypothetical listener that doesn't know what pinball is.
They're listening being like, what the hell is pinball?
I think you should, because I'd love to hear someone explain pinball. Yeah, it's kind of like a Rube Goldberg machine of a video game, but it's not an analog game.
Yeah. In a way, it's the first video game.
That is not true.
it's not a video game. Anyway, so imagine... You've got a glass case.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And in the case, there are a bunch of buttons and like bouncy metal mushroom things, plus holes
and flaps.
And you have two buttons on either side of this case, and each button corresponds to a little waggler.
Okay, so that's not a flap; that's a waggler.
No, because the flaps are like. Because there's like flaps that you can throw the ball in that spin.
I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know yeah,
the
yeah,
ones, no. And it's like you go through like a dog flap almost.
Yeah, that's flap. I was thinking that the wagglers were flaps, but when you said the word waggler, I was like, no, they're obviously wagglers. They're not flaps.
Clearly, waggler. And then there's also sometimes things that are like, they're like, you know. Why is explaining pinball so hard?
Your explanation is so bad that, like, I was confident I knew the name.
You've forgotten what pinball is?
Like, the things in pinball machines have names, I was confident I
didn't know that.
Refer to them by that. And now with your explanation, I think I've lost that knowledge.
What do you call the bit in a pinball machine that's like a target almost, and there'll often be three in a row, and you need to hit all three of the targets... And then you get like double points.
I think that is a target.
Oh, okay.
The words boring. You haven't said.
Yeah.
There's bumpers.
Bumpers.
Definitely. I knew that.
I think, are the bumpers the wagglers?
No. The wagglers are flippers.
Oh, okay. Well, how is that any less ridiculous than wagglers?
Yeah. And why do you know this? What did you read the wiki or like what Slumdog Millionaire situation in your life has led you to know the names of the parts of a pinball machine?
Yeah. What the hell?
People don't talk about my Who Wants to Be a Millionaire journey very much because the $1 million question was, what are the names of the bits in a pinball machine? And I said waggler and embarrassed myself in front of Eddie Maguire, host of Australian Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
You don't want to embarrass yourself in front of him, do you?
Yeah. And now I just couldn't. Yeah, now I've memorized the Wikipedia, so.
Damn, just in case it happens again.
Yeah, just in case it happens again.
Smart.
I mean, what I find fascinating, though, and I'm curious to hear about your review of the Windows XP pinball machine, is that I feel like so much of the beauty of the pinball machine is its physicality.
Yeah.
Its presence, and it's a machine that is there. And so to digitize that would be a challenge, I believe, especially if it was like a keyboard game, if you didn't have vibrations
and all
of that stuff, that the pinball machine, it's a full body experience.
Yes,
it is.
You got to be smelling the pub that you're in.
The pub?
Yeah. Yeah, I associate pinball machines with the pub.
Arcades.
Well, I guess.
It's a game.
For me, the iconic pinball machine is in a pub, and you got your drink, and you put your drink on a table, and you have a couple of waggles at the pinball machine. You lose a couple balls, you go back to drinking. That's pinball machines.
Also the culture of the pinball machine. Isn't there like the rules? I saw it in the holdovers recently, where like if you come and you put your coin on the pinball machine, that means you have the next turn.
Yeah.
That's
unspoken
good.
Law.
Yeah, it's like playing pool in a pub. You just chuck your money down.
Funny to imagine somebody putting the coin there for the next turn. I just, oh, thank you, take the coin. It's a good way to make money.
It's like, yeah, you take it as a tip. I'm playing pinball so well that this guy's giving me $2.
Oh my God, I'm killing it.
Busking.
Taking a pinball machine up to like Elizabeth Street or something and putting a hat down next to you. Yeah. So the pinball game on the Windows XP is actually like a stripped down version of another game called Full Tilt Pinball.
Mm-hmm.
Full Tilt Pinball, which was also a PC game, but came with like a bunch of different. Because the Windows XP one just had Space Cadet, which was like a space-themed one.
Mm-hmm.
But there was like a bunch of others that you got in the original one. And I always remember as a kid having in my head that maybe if I played good enough, I could get new pinball machines.
I thought that too. I thought that...
No dice.
Yeah, you'd unlock more if you went on. But then I think I got a really good score and was like, well, guess
this
the dream's
is all there
dead.
Is. Yeah, the other ones, there's like a pirate one and a freaking medieval one. One thing that they did to, I think, add that physicality back for the Windows XP pinball game is that so you have like buttons on the keyboard that correspond to the flippers, but you can also tilt, like you can shake the pinball
bump,
machine.
Yeah, bump,
oh,
bump it.
Right, it's very good to have like you want to cheat a little bit as part of your free game of the Windows XP. But then if you do it too much, obviously they get mad at you. Like,
yeah.
Like in real life.
Yeah.
They'll yell at you for waggling around the pinball machine.
In your explanation of pinball, you didn't actually mention the ball once. I just
so
noticed.
There's a ball.
Interesting.
And you pull like a thing on a spring, and it flings the ball into the aforementioned big metal mushrooms and flaps and dinglers or whatever.
Dinglers?
And it bounces around, donking between them.
Yeah.
And also there's often a digital display.
Mm-hmm.
And if it donks into certain things, you get points.
Mm-hmm.
But also if you donk down, say, three of the targets, it might double your points.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's an awesome thing that can happen called a multi-ball. And I'll leave that up to you to figure out what happens.
Whoa.
There.
So what's the point of the game?
To get as much points as you can.
And how do you lose?
If the ball comes for your flappers and just falls through the hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haven't they, like, back in the day, like, the original pinball machines? It seems, like, quite complex. Like, if you're getting points for hitting certain dongles and flappers and mushrooms,
yeah.
Were they, like, equipped with sensors that, like,
know.
Picked up the hit? Like, this is science.
I've played really old pinball machines before.
Yeah.
And I think the way it works is there is, like, sensors and stuff, but it's... They don't have things like hit three targets and then your points are doubled kind of thing. Mm. It's like bumpers, the table's not as slanted.
Yeah.
So the ball's a little bit slower. And yeah, it's just like bumpers and stuff. Mm. Not very exciting.
Yeah.
It's less complex.
Yeah. I just remembered this story about pinball.
The story. The legend?
In a way, it's a legend. So at some point in the 70s, in some city, I forget which, they were planning to outlaw all gambling games. So they were like, we're shutting down our casinos, card games, we're cracking down on that kind of thing. And pinball got caught up in this. They were like, pinball is a game of chance. So we're not going to allow pinball. We're going to destroy all of the pinball machines across the country or across the city or whatever. But because it was the 70s, everybody loved pinball. It was pinball fever. So a bunch of people like rallied together. And they got the greatest pinball player in the city. And they were like, you have to go before this council and you have to prove that pinball is not a game of chance.
Is this what the Pinball Wizard is about?
Maybe.
The song?
The Pinball Wizard is... I know the answer to this one.
Okay.
Pinball Wizard is a song in a concept album. And the concept album is about a kid that is abused as a child and goes deaf, dumb, and blind. As a consequence of his abuse.
Yeah.
But then he goes on like a journey, becomes really good at pinball. And then I think at the end, yeah, all of his senses come back.
That's
he played
cool.
Pinball.
And I mean, that's what music used to be. And that's why The Who couldn't survive in this TikTok economy, the music industry. Because you can't pitched that on TikTok.
No.
Can't do a cute little dance about that.
About a guy who's so good at pinball, he gets his sight back.
Well, yeah. I mean, the lyrics in Pinball Wizard, I reckon, would pop off on TikTok.
Yeah.
That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he could.
Actually, yeah, this you could dance could to work. That.
Yeah.
It's good. Actually, and any listeners out there, sorry to cut, so boldly come on as a guest and throw out something
no,
to
do.
Your listeners.
No, please
hey, do. Let him have it.
Make it go viral. Let's all get on TikTok.
Yeah.
Let's get Pinball Wizard up. Let's bring it back. Let's do this for the Who. You know, it's yeah. been a crazy time for them. And let's see if we can shake things up.
The Who need a win. That's what we believe here at Thumb Cramps. The Who need a win. And this is their win. Another funny thing about this pinball game.
I feel
game,
like you did not finish your story.
I did. They got a guy in. And they were like, he was like just a guy who was very good at playing pinball. He wasn't like a professional because there was no such thing.
Yeah.
But they had to prove, yeah.
He did like a demo?
Well, basically, before the council, because they believed it was a game of chance, that nobody could be good at pinball. And he had to come in. He was just some freaking scoundrel. And he had to come in.
I imagine he's smoking.
Yeah, he probably was. It was the 1970s. And he had to prove, he had to play the perfect game of pinball to stop pinball getting canceled in his city. I think that's awesome. That man is a hero.
Whoa. Pinball was first a billiards table that was altered.
Whoa.
To shoot balls. Anyway.
That's awesome. Pinball should have stayed that big and dangerous, it sounds.
Yeah, and the first example of that in history is Louis the... No? Anyway, one of the French kings...
Whoa.
Boy, yeah, so 1643 to 1715.
That rocks. They should bring back big pinball. I think, yeah, let's get pinball bigger. Obviously, yeah. Gamers out there, the listeners, would know pinball from Waluigi's Pinball or whatever the yeah. Mario Kart track is.
Yep.
I should have just said that.
Yeah.
It's like that. Another funny thing I learned about this particular pinball game is that the Windows 98 installation CD had instructions for installing this game on your Windows 98 computer, but the instructions were wrong. They were just fully incorrect, so people couldn't do it. But it said, like, oh, here's how to install pinball. Anyway, yeah, it's pinball. You know, it's fun enough.
What's the sound like? Because I would describe, like, the sounds of pinball. When you're in the moment, it's kind of fine, but objectively, it's quite... It's not pleasant. Like, do you just abrasive. Have like headphones on, noise yeah. canceling headphones, and it's like, that 1 second of this podcast, people probably have turned it off. Like, we've lost.
People have thrown their phone in a pond. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they go, women are shrill. Like, that's. So you're just listening to that. Imagine the hours people were playing up late at night,
yeah.
you know, when ignoring their wife. Just headphones on. Like, stop nagging me.
Don't talk to me, wife. I'm playing 3D pinball
Space Cadet.
Did I marry the right guy? I don't know.
Yeah.
He's damn good at pinball, though. Probably at some point, you know, in the 1970s, like seeing somebody who was really good at pinball, like that might have been attractive, you know?
Yeah.
I think if I saw a guy just killing it at a pinball machine, I'd get a little flustered.
There's like
there's a
some
skill.
Transferable traits, hand-eye coordination, good with your fingers.
Yeah. He's slamming the button. I'm like, what if that was my erogenous zone?
Yeah.
That's how I think, really yeah. generally about my body.
If anyone's ever picked up by playing pinball really well, please let us know.
Yes.
Is anyone like Twitch streaming with an analog pinball machine?
They should.
That would be sick.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Hey, call out listeners. If you've ever done something... like just create like pinball or any weird sort of skill or whatever and it's helped you pick up, I would love to know. Like pinball, maybe not pool, that's a bit too obvious. Skipping
yeah.
rope. If you've done like a handstand and it's got you laid, please email in. Yeah, look, hey, 3D pinball, Space Cadet, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's nostalgic to play. The music is it's a very, very like compressed and stuff, but it is nostalgic to play. It does remind me of being like a kid and on my parents' computer playing pinball for hours because the novelty of just playing a video game was like enough, you know, back when you didn't ask for much. You were just like, whoa, I press a key and then a thing happens in the game I'm playing. That's crazy. But, you know, I probably couldn't play it for very long.
It took 200 years for them to add flippers into pinball.
What were you doing before?
You just shoot the ball, watch it bounce around, and then it goes down the hole, and you're like, that was fun.
Well, that was a game.
200 years?
200 years.
Come on. Some things I think about inventions. Like, yeah. And I think, you know, people are like, man, if I could go back to the past and I could do things. It's like, no, like, I wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I would have, like, invented the wheel or, any, like, fire or anything normal. I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yeah.
But flippers on pinball, I reckon I could be playing that for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'd think of, like, what if we, like...
Yeah, I'd like to put the ball back into play.
Can we hit it? Like, because you just want to hit it back. Yeah.
Absolutely. Pathetic.
Yeah.
You don't think you could invent the wheel?
I don't know. I would like to think I would.
How do you make the first wheel?
What do I have?
Rocks, I guess?
Make the rock. I'm probably going to make a ball before I make a wheel, realistically.
Yeah. I'd probably make a, you know, a grilled salad or something. Like something. Yeah.
Inventing the grilled salad.
Chimichurri. But we'd be stationary and we'd be unevolved and we wouldn't know anything about astronomy.
I'm probably going to go three thumbs. For 3D pinball, XP, cadet, space cadet.
Yeah. And yeah, it's crazy to know that we invented the nuclear bomb before we invented flippers on pinball.
Whoa.
But pretty close together. 1947 is the first flippers in pinball.
Okay.
Dropped the bomb in 1945.
That's crazy. Do you think Oppenheimer was playing the original pinball?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he probably to take his mind off what, like, the Eye of the Become Destroyer.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He was probably like the chaos of the ball, representative of our act in humankind, the ball floating meaninglessly around the mind. That's the end of that bit. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that
Thank
bit.
You, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I won an Oscar. I did last night.
Congratulations.
Oh, my God, that's incredible.
Mm.
For
that bit that you did today?
For that bit.
Is that best?
I am become Cillian Murphy in that bit just then.
Oh, so you won Best Actor last night.
Yeah, okay. I get it now.
Congratulations.
Thanks so much. Awesome riff on my part.
I think you killed it.
Thanks so much, guys.
And I think it is really funny to think about Oppenheimer giving a big speech about pinball whilst playing pinball. Or is he played pinball? Let's work through this riff.
Okay, yeah, let's
play. Let's
spend more time here. Let's
do it. Has he just finished a game of pinball and he's reflecting with his friends? Or is it mid-pinball, so as he's giving the speech, you're hearing like the thunk-thunk-thunk-thunk-thunk-thunk of him hitting the ball back?
I almost think, like, I'd like to think he was playing the pinball, but I think actually more realistically, he's in the arcade sitting in the corner, like, with his little hat on, smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's just observing, like, a pinball king.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's, like, got a drink and his, like, pen and he's kind of, like, writing about the moment. And he's, like, singing the sexual magnetism that the pinball pro has. And he's envious of that.
Yeah,
and
I think so. Yeah, that makes sense.
So he kind of tries to take him down a peg in his little diary.
Yeah. That's fair.
That's far less grandiose if he's just writing a sad little thing in his diary to make fun of a man he won't confront in real life. But that does sound like Oppenheimer. That's him.
Maybe it'll be in Oppenheimer 2 when they make that.
Yeah, they should.
Oppenheimer 2, Pinball Wizard. Yeah.
Well, it'll be pretty popular. People will be crying out for it after this TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's viral marketing in a way.
Yeah, Oppenheimer's won Best Picture. Pinball Wizard's popping off on TikTok. We got to bring them two together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oppenheimer 2, but the flippers were invented 2 years later. It's all adding up.
Is it Oppenheimer 2 years later?
Yes!
The name of the movie?
Okay. And then in bracket, and then subtitle, The Flippers.
Yeah. And I think for the poster, Oppenheimer should be smoking 2 cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
To like,
to say, like, it's like how it's sometimes in a movie, it'll be like the sequel and they'll put up like the peace sign.
Yeah.
It'll be like 2, but it's 2 cigarettes. Yeah. That's great. That's really cool. What have you been playing?
I've been playing a game that, Jackson, I know you're very familiar with. A game called Risk of Rain 2.
Oh, great game.
Risk of Rain. Like,
okay.
Like weather.
Yeah.
Rain. That's just the bomb website.
Yeah. Yeah.
This rocks. High score.
How wild is it with bomb, just while we're talking bomb? Yeah. I'm thinking bomb.
That's for those, there's like those a bomb, not in the know, that's the Bureau of Meteorology website in Australia.
Yeah, yeah, we call it the bomb.
We call it bomb. Because we're cool.
Yeah. Didn't they try to not like move away from bomb recently?
So.
Yeah. They like released a statement that they were like, guys, we want to be called Bureau of Meteorology. But the website is bomb.com.
I know. Yeah. What do you expect us to do?
Do you know there's a conspiracy floating around at the moment?
I have heard this.
That's wild. Yeah, there's a bomb conspiracy. So basically what happened is that about a year ago now, there was a huge redundancy at bomb, but they tried to play it down because they were like, oh, we're firing a lot of government, like the government jobs. And there were a lot of senior positions.
Yeah.
And the people they left were cheaper, but also weren't really trained properly yet. So the weather for the last like 6 or so months has been wrong. Because they don't actually really know what they're doing.
Wow.
And that's why there's been lots of like, hey, this was meant to be like a really hot, dry summer in Australia, but it's been pretty wet. And they're like, we always said there was like a chance it would rain.
Yeah,
like it's not.
But they're just pulling it out their ass, basically. Yeah.
Very interesting. I mean, I know a guy who works at the bomb.
Whoa!
You get the inside scoop.
So excited by this, and I'm always like bringing it up, and no one, I mean, people think it's cool, but I guess they've known him for longer than me.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm the only one kind of obsessed.
It's awesome.
If we're all out, I'm like, hey, and it's like a nice day, I'm like, how about this?
Did you predict this weather?
Right.
And I'm like, this is do you go to work every day? And you're like, day for it. Like that. There's so much going on. And also he told me, because I don't really know what he does. He does some like maths and things like that.
Yeah.
But also he was talking about, he was like, oh man, there's this guy that calls the bomb all the time. And I was talking to him and I'm like, wait, you can just call the bomb?
Whoa.
And I'm pretty sure you can like call the bomb. And I'm like, why are they getting through to you? Like, you're like a meteorologist. You're not like on the reception desk.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure like, guys, if we can work out the bomb phone number and if you like call it, like you just fully talk to like a guy at the bomb.
That's crazy.
So just like make some calls.
Could you call up like every morning and just be like, what's the weather going to be today?
Well, that's this guy. Apparently he calls like a regular caller. Like they all know him and it's like, yes, Steve, I know it's hotter than we said it was going to be. Like it's a whole thing with this guy that calls all the time. So
that was my next thought. I was like, if I called in the morning and I was like, what's the temperature going to be today? And they were like 25 and sunny. And then it was like 20. I would want to call back.
Then you call back.
Be like, hey.
What I've learned is that you can do that. Like you don't like don't even open that weather app on your phone. Who cares? Just call the bomb.
Yeah,
just save the number.
That's
just call
awesome.
Them up and be like, what's today look like?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, chance of rain. You're like, nah, but like really, like what's it actually?
You can tell me, dude. You can actually tell me.
Yeah, because that's the other thing with bomb.
Yeah.
The chance of rain conspiracy.
Yeah.
It's all over the place right now.
Oh,
I'm
losing
a lot of laundry out there because I keep trusting the app over the sky. I look at the sky and it's like dark.
It's
and
currently
like,
raining.
Well,
you're like, well, this is not going to rain today. Time to hang out my washing.
Yeah. It's probably going to clear up. I've done the same thing.
Well,
it's
the bomb thing that they're allegedly, again, conspiracy doing is that they often will lean heavier into the chance of it raining because if you say it's going to rain and it doesn't rain, people are happy. But if you say it's not going to rain and it does rain, people lose their laundry.
Mm.
But that's, you can't like play with us like that.
Yeah.
Like that's, it's not their job to be making judgments based on psychology.
You got to just tell us the truth. We're not your plaything, Mom.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on.
Far out, dude.
Weather in Australia, it goes deep.
It goes all the way to
the top.
And
I'm going to uncover it.
Yeah.
I'm going to call them up. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Give him a call. Give my friend a call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laura Bonner sent me.
Yeah. Ask around. He'll know who I am.
So anyway, Risk of Rain 2 is the sequel to, you're not going to believe this, Risk of Rain.
No way.
Which is like a survive. Basically, all of the games in the series are, you're a little guy that's in, things have gone wrong in space, you crash land on an alien planet, you've just got to work your way through the levels to get off the planet.
Yeah.
But the way that the game works is there's a timer that counts up, and as the timer goes up, the game gets harder. So if you take too long, it becomes very, very hard. So you're meant to get through it as quick as possible.
That sucks, because the longer I take on something, that means I'm bad at it.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah, fair enough.
Dropping truth here.
Yeah, this is huge. This is like, this episode is blowing like lots of lids
lots
off
of lids.
Everything.
Lots of lids are flying, yeah. The pantry's in chaos, yeah.
A lot of minds being changed today.
Yeah, a lot of people sitting on the bus listening to Thumb Cramps being like, whoa.
Whoa, I gotta get off this bus.
A lot of bumper stickers being drafted today.
Call bomb.
Call the bomb, find the truth.
Was it like now I've got the idea of a bumper sticker that just says, I got to get off this bus? That's new Thumb Cramps merch. A t-shirt that just says, I got to get off this bus.
I got to get off. It's funny because that was in response to hearing something. Like, where are you going? You hear something that blows your mind. I got to get off this bus. You just get off in a random suburb. What now?
Well, it's funny because like getting off something, you're like, I got to sit, like getting like hectic news, like, I got to sit down, but you are already sitting down on the bus.
I think sometimes being on a bus is
I gotta
overwhelming.
Move this, yeah, I got to move this pregnant lady so I can sit down on this bus.
Sorry, the podcast I'm listening to just said something crazy. Could you scooch over?
Yeah, sorry. Actually, hearing something crazy on a podcast is now classified as an invisible illness.
Yeah.
I know it's not, you know, on like those seats they have to like, if you're pregnant or if you've got crutches or whatever. I know I'm not on there, but I am allowed to sit there.
If you're listening to Thumb Cramps, accessibility seating is absolutely available to you.
It's like these
this podcast makes you sick, so it's fine.
Yeah. Pregnant, disabled people who listen to podcasts on the Thumb Cramps.
You just show them your phone and they're like, oh, whoa, please lie down.
Yeah. Take up please, the whole sir. Seat.
If you listen to the Thumb Cramps, you're legally allowed to lie down on the floor on the train or the bus.
It also does the same thing as, you know, you have some people have those cards that they can show at any venue that lets them use the toilet.
Yeah.
It's also that you just, if you walk to any restaurant and show them that you listen to Thumb Cramps, they have to let you use the toilet.
Oh, right this way.
That's... awesome. Imagine having one of those cards.
I think it's sick. I mean, obviously, those people have cards for like a really important
reason. Yeah, no, I
reasons,
know. Obviously.
But it's
yeah.
funny to make your a fake one.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like,
you can just make one.
Yeah.
But I think.
Scam your way into the toilet.
I would.
It would be embarrassing, kind of, wouldn't it? Like, what if you accidentally get that out and you're on a date trying to pay for a restaurant? Throw that down.
Oh,
no, sorry. That's my license to shit.
That's my shit anywhere card. My bad.
Oh, I think that, like...
But you are dating a guy who can shit anywhere, so...
Yeah, I can get you into the best toilets in town, babe. We don't even need to buy a drink.
Or at least I can go to the best toilets in town.
Yeah, you can awkwardly wait near the bar. But don't buy anything, because that defeats the purpose of the card.
For the love of God, don't buy anything. If you buy anything, we're done.
I'll see if I'll make some calls. I'll see if I can get you one, too. Think about it.
We'd be like Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, it's all right, babe. Just send me a stool sample and I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. No, this is not weird.
This is a great first date. Are you feeling this connection? Can't wait to do this again. Yeah, Risk of Rain. It's a game that I've been playing heaps of. It's very addictive because it's one of those video games that's a loop. Like,
yeah.
Every time you restart it, the worlds change a little bit. There's different weapons and different upgrades and different abilities, and it's very hard. So you kind of like, at first you're playing it, you kind of feel like you're pushing a boulder up a hill.
Mm.
And that boulder is rolling back down every time you die.
Gone Sisyphus mode, yeah. Nice.
But then as you start getting better and better, you're like, all right, now I've got to make better time so the game stays a bit easier so that like when I fight a boss, I'm not just getting like one hit.
Yeah,
for blown
sure.
across the map and dying. And like figuring out like which upgrades to get and like which suits the way you're playing the game so you can get your little guy home.
Do you have a specific little guy you play as? Because I know in Risk of Rain there's a myriad of little guys.
Well, I've only unlocked one extra little guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I currently play as the first little guy.
Hey, it's a great little guy.
Yeah, he's got
What's he look like? Describe.
He's a little astronaut kind of guy. He's got a space helmet on, two guns. There's other little guys that are like, one's wearing a cowboy hat. That's pretty good, but his gun
That's
sucks.
That's fun.
I like the
space
little...
Space cowboy.
Yeah, space cowboy. Exactly. I like the little guy. I don't know if he's in Risk of Rain 2. I think he is, where you have like big shoulder pads that are also full of missiles or whatever.
Yeah, that sounds like
you
a good
You make a bunch
guy.
Of drones. That's fun.
Yeah, I figured the best way, my strategy, which I think is everyone's strategy, you got to find two healing drones.
Yeah.
And so then they're just like constantly healing you. And then it doesn't matter what else you do. Although getting any upgrade that like bleeds the enemy or
always good
fire, like sets them on fire. So when you just shoot them, then they're just constantly taking damage. It's one of those video games that's doesn't sound fun when you explain it, but it's very addictive. And if you put anyone in front of it and they figure it out within like 10 minutes,
absolutely
sucked in.
I think because
it would be those games that like, or like even like puzzle stuff that then it repeats, like you have to do it and then it you start over. I'm on a knife's edge of like, oh no, now I have to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then like literally just like throwing the controller to my boyfriend and being like, you do it! Like, because that I hit my limit.
Yeah.
But is there actually a risk of rain in the game?
Please. I don't know why it's called Risk of Rain,
really. Why is it called that?
Is it you need to get off the planet in the time because the rain's coming but the rain never comes?
No, because if the time, because I've played it a bunch of these games, and if the timer hits the absolute peak, it's just chaos, but there's no rain.
Yeah, because the timer in the game, and it's pretty funny, it starts with like easy, and so, yeah, it goes easy, normal, hard, very hard, intense. It's like something like, now you've done it, I'm coming for you, and the last one is just all caps, ha 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 ha
yeah,
ha,
yeah,
ha,
yeah.
That just keeps going.
That's very
which
scary.
Is scary.
It's good. It's big fan.
My best run, I died on the final boss.
Nice.
Which was awesome. So, yeah, right at the end of it, there's, like, these pillars that you've got to activate that suck your health out.
Mm.
And you're also being attacked by enemies at the same time. So you got to make sure you got enough health to activate one. And I activated the last one, had enough health, turned around, got shot in the back of the head.
That's a shame.
It was good.
So you haven't beat the game?
No, I have not finished the game.
I guess they call it the Risk of Rain, and then it doesn't rain because it's better that they call it the Risk of Rain, and then when it doesn't rain, you're happy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
versus
actually...
If they called it rain.
Something that had nothing to do with rain, like space fighting or, like, you know, time's up
or
whatever, then you, with the whole time, you'd be like, if it rained, like, you'd be really mad.
Yeah. I'd be so furious if it rains.
Every video game should just be called Risk of Rain. So, like, if it does rain in the game, you're like, well, I expected it. But if it doesn't rain, you're happy.
Yeah, that's smart.
It's
that's
like a little extra
planning.
Bump.
Yeah.
It's like a pleasant surprise.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I think if that... Why don't they just say it's going to rain every day if that's their logic?
Because I would not believe them. If Bob said it will rain every day forever, I would be like, maybe I need to go to a different website.
It's like the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
They're just playing with our emotions just enough.
But what if it said, like, it's going to rain every day? Like, that was the new bomb thing. And then that day it did rain. Would you suspect maybe they were right a little bit?
No, I think if they said it was going to rain every day and then it rains the first day that I see that, I say, okay, it's rained one day. That's not that weird.
How many days in a row does it have to rain before you think it's going to rain forever?
Like 100?
I don't know. I feel like it rains like 3 days in a row and I'm like, it's never going to end.
Yeah. I think I'm the same.
Yeah. I think,
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, actually, maybe... In Australia, I reckon if it rained
every day for a week,
and the prediction was just like it's going to,
and
keep
they were
raining.
Like, and the bomb came out, and they were like, it's never going to not rain. I would be like, maybe, I don't know. Bomb saying it.
I just would trust the bomb. That's the problem.
Yeah,
we have trust in the bomb, but now if that's being undermined, then I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, you've got close connections to the bomb, so it's actually, it would be heartbreaking if you find out you can't trust the bomb.
True.
It would. It wouldn't be just like losing a government scientific agency. It'd be like losing a friend of my boyfriend's.
There's nothing more tragic than that.
Nothing sadder than losing a friend of your boyfriend.
Yeah, that really...
It's what every girl, you know, it's her worst nightmare.
Yeah. Your friends, they can come and go.
A friend of your boyfriend, that should be forever.
That should be forever.
Whatever. But to lose one of those guys at the pub trivia.
Oh, no.
God.
Can't imagine.
But he works for a science place, so he probably brings a lot to the team.
He's
fills some gaps.
Good at pub trivia.
Every now and then.
Yeah.
Every pub trivia team's got like 6 movie guys and like 4 music guys. And all that happens is then they just argue about movies and music stuff. And then you end up inevitably writing down the wrong answer. And then one guy's like, told you it was the final countdown by Europe.
Yeah, I
told you Pink Floyd had 9 albums before the wall, and I'm just there waiting, biding my time. And guess what? Sometimes it comes up, because when you're out at pub trivia with a group of real cool people who know a lot of cool stuff, sometimes there's a question about a Leanne Moriarty book, and I'm there.
Yeah.
And I'm there waiting.
You're there thriving.
That's when that's when you thrive.
Does everyone at the table just turn and look at you, and you just like nod?
This
like,
is your time to shine.
I've got this.
Yeah. And I'm like, what do you want me to do next? Name all the Kardashian children? I'll do it.
Well, actually, Northwest just announced their debut album today.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which
really?
Is pretty huge because Northwest is a child.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Elementary She's school dropout.
Kids can do anything, dude.
Which is a reference to Kanye's album. Yeah, really good stuff. Definitely, I guess, one to watch because that doesn't seem like it's going to end well and will probably destroy this child's life.
Yes. Yeah,
than being related to Kanye already has.
Yeah. They're not starting from a great place. Yeah.
It's hard, you know, for someone with all the money in the world, she probably is set up a little bit to fail.
Yeah.
But... I still will say I'd still take that money. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Let it wreck my life. Why not?
Yeah, go on.
It'll be fun sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I guess, like, people say, obviously, money can't buy happiness or whatever, yeah. And then there's, yeah.
I think to a point, I think a bit more money. If I had a bit more money, I'd be a bit happier.
Absolutely. Just a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, little bit more, sure, I'm happier. Moderately more,
yeah.
I'm probably even happier.
Quite a bit more, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm filled with joy.
Really,
I'm absolutely elated if I had heaps more money.
Yeah. I'm blissing out, to be honest.
I think they
it is.
Yeah.
It's like whenever you watch like a show or something and it's like, this guy's really rich, but guess what? Actually, it's hard. You know what? His parent died or something. And I'm like, you know what? You can be poor and that happens as well.
Yeah.
At least
then what?
Unless he got rich because they were like, hey, I'll give you $10 million if I can shoot your dad.
Yeah, then you just take the money.
Yeah.
You sort of look at dad like, like, we're not going to do that, right?
How much is in your super before you do this? You know, what's actually coming?
Like, how much longer do you have? Like, is this actually maybe smart, dad?
Yeah,
I don't know.
So dad, like, realistically, like, I mean, like, I'm in my 30s. You've probably only got, like what, 20 years?
Yeah, like, do you want to...
That's $500,000 a year for your boy, me. All you need to do...
$10 million. That's pretty good.
It's pretty good, dad. I don't know.
In this economy, like, I mean, like, I could probably buy some pretty important
stuff. That will be
I turn that 10 into a 20.
And that'll
What's
be
your counter offer.
Yeah.
How many thumbs for Risk of Rain? Two.
I thought you were answering. Yeah. How many thumbs for Risk of Rain? Two?
Two? Done.
No, I'm going to go 4 thumbs and a knock.
Nice.
I'm having a real good time with it. I want to unlock more stuff. Don't know how to do it. I don't really know how to get better at the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's quick and there's a lot of stuff happening all the time. And it's not like, if I dodged that attack, it's just like, I don't know how.
I remember Risk of Rain 2 specifically, because Risk of Rain 1, great game, and the new Risk of Rain remaster thing that I think I reviewed semi-recently.
You did, Risk of Rain Returns, which is why I bought Risk of Rain 2.
Great games.
It was on sale.
All great games. But Risk of Rain 2, I remember being kind of, because it's a, instead of a sort of 2D side-scrolling thing, it's like a 3D over the shoulder kind of, it's very different and it is far more difficult, I remember, but it's good.
Yeah, it is good.
And it's sometimes for the unlocking, like I know in the other two Risk of Rains, you gotta like search levels for secrets and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how you unlock some of the other guys. I don't know though, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll figure it out.
Maybe.
Or maybe I'll accidentally just put another 100 hours into Fortnite. It's
really
that's hard
also
to
possible.
Say.
Also very possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should probably look into doing something about that. Anyway, Lauren, what have you been playing?
Yeah, I mean, well, speaking of sinking unending hours into something mindless, because I was thinking about what game I should talk about, and I wanted to also, like, kind of preface with, like, my credentials, because, like, obviously, like, I'm a comedian, I'm not part of the video game community, but I do just want to, like, assure everyone that I, you know, I'm cool.
Uh-huh.
I've actually played some games semi-recently. I played, like, God of War. That's a real game. I played Zelda Breath of the Wild, and then I was playing a lot of Tears of the Kingdom, but my main review of Tears of the Kingdom is a lot of stuff to do, a lot of chores.
Busy games.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, takes a lot of time.
Jesus Christ. You want a sword, you've got to build it yourself. You've got to make dinner, you've got to collect. It's like, it's a lot to do.
Yeah.
But it is nice. But anyway, the game I wanted to talk about was... from a category of games that is one of my favorite, which I'd call like, just kind of like a brain spa. Like, disassociation. It's best experienced like as one of three screens minimum.
Oh yeah, nice.
Minimum.
Whoa,
so you're pushing numbers that I could not even imagine. I reckon three screens is like the absolute maximum.
Yes,
I've ever
I agree.
I feel like I can do three screens, but I have honestly sometimes delved into four, and I'll explain.
Dude.
So,
okay.
Like on TV screen, you've got a show that that you're familiar with, that's comforting. You know, whether that's your Mindy Project, your Gossip Girl, your Sex in the City. These are all the shows I assume you fellas are watching.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are you watching? That's our show's covered.
I'm watching, you know, kind of a bit more highbrow stuff, like,
The Sopranos? You're dipping into Sopranos. The Ronos?
Ronos, gone Rono mode.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Sopranos would still be a good background show.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just kind of a vibe. But, okay, so you've got that on, and then your phone. Phone is always present.
Gotta have phone.
And, like, at a minimum, it's a group chat. At a maximum, sometimes it's kind of crazy. You can kind of play a bit of a game, then, like, watch a few TikToks and back and forth.
You're kind of doing a bunch of different stuff on the phone. Fair enough.
It does get crazy when you've got the sound of the TV and the sound of the TikToks.
Yeah,
going. That gets quite a bit. That's a bit too much pleasure for one person.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Do you ever go scroll TikTok sound off?
I've
done that.
Sometimes.
Because I feel like that's like one of the big differences between Instagram Reels and TikTok. Instagram Reels feel like they're way more catered to like, hey, you're probably not watching them with sound on.
Yeah.
With TikTok though, you need that sound.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I feel like in the beginning, with Reels and TikToks, they were like, you need captions because people are not always watching with sound.
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. But now it seems like sound is a given.
Yeah.
People are fully committing to TikTok and it's becoming
people are locked in.
They're in and they're listening to Pinball Wizard.
Yeah.
It's taking the world by storm. But the game on that third screen is on like the handheld on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
A game called Suika.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you guys played this game?
No,
I
haven't.
I think this you will be very familiar with this game when Lauren starts explaining.
Okay, I probably just don't know the name.
It's very pleasurable. It's very good. So I'm also someone who has I've got a real history with Tetris.
Okay.
In high school, I was so good at Tetris. I used to play on TetrisFriends.com.
Yep,
anyone else in the community, shouts out.
Yep.
I even hit a few high scores.
Whoa.
Nice. Just so you know, that was when I first met my boyfriend. I was trying to impress him and I was like, you don't understand. I was like, I considered going pro. That's not a real thing, I think.
Have you played much or have you played any Tetris 99?
Have you dipped back in?
I have, and I've gotten like, I don't know if I've ever come first. I've definitely come second and third and stuff on Tetris 99, but like a computer keyboard was my most.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Natural Tetris. And I got pretty good with the Switch, but it still wasn't.
Because
I'm not as, like, I can't. You know how you can press like two buttons with the one finger and like, I'm not leveling up in the technique enough to keep up with.
Yeah, that's fair.
The game changed on you know?
Yeah.
It did. Yeah. It did.
It's sad to hear that you fell off.
Yeah.
You know, I can always pick it back up sometime and train should it.
Yeah. And then we'll be so back.
Yeah.
We'll be back and things will be different for me. But Suika tickles that same kind of part of my brain. So basically what it is, there's like a wheel of fruits essentially, and it's a cycle of life. It's like an evolution of fruits, and the fruits are dropped. You drop down the fruits, and you can only see one in advance of what's coming, and you've got to match up two fruits of the same kind,
and then
they turn into the next fruit.
I think I do know this game.
You got to make a watermelon.
Yeah.
So cherries turn into strawberries, turn into grapes, turn into oranges, turn into a persimmon.
Oh my god!
And then I think it's like a peach and then a yellow melon, then a green melon, pineapple. Watermelon. Oh, maybe I've mixed up pineapple and melon. Honestly, I'm glad that I don't know.
I really liked that you went through the questioning like we would know.
Well,
watermelon?
I've
persimmon?
I
don't know, man.
I have played it, but like I would not have been able to list any of the fruits, and it was pretty amazing to watch on your face as you just like locked into your brain then. You're like, there it is.
I can see you entering your mind palace and looking at the fruits.
It was my mind palace. It's sort of like a weatherboard shack with many holes in it. And inside that palace is not any information. Not, you know, my partner's birthday or birth year.
Oh, no.
Not the years that the world wars started or finished.
Yeah, that's fair. We got yelled at recently for that exact thing.
Yeah, for not knowing those things.
It's really
who can
hard.
Know?
It's old.
Who cares?
We know if you know roughly.
Yeah, exactly. That's plenty.
And your boyfriend's birthday's in January.
It's
sometime.
January.
Yeah, like
it's it early. Actually is in January.
Yeah, it's early January. It's in the first 2 weeks.
Wow, you know a lot about him.
Yeah.
I actually know the birthday, the 7th of January, because my birthday is the 7th of March.
Oh, so that's good. That's a good little note. Yeah.
Kind of cheating, but I always mix up the year and he gets mad at me. But I'm here saying, I've watched 24 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. Do you think I can retain any other information?
Yeah, that's a lot to follow.
Yeah.
Grey's Anatomy, there's a lot going on in that hospital.
Is that the one where a guy has a rivalry with a helicopter?
No, that's ER.
Ah.
Wow, that sounds intriguing, though.
Yeah, they kill a guy by dropping a heli... Like, they kill off a doctor by having a helicopter crash on him. But previously to that, the same helicopter has cut off his arm, I think.
So it's like it's sort of a Jaws 2 situation.
Yeah,
in a way.
The way the episode is structured, it feels like the helicopter's coming to get him. In ER, which has a very similar vibe to Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy does have a plane crash, though, which is pretty surprising.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Several
plane crashes.
That's even more surprising.
Well, planes crash every day. I guess it's just being realistic.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. After, there's so many seasons. They've got to...
Yeah, and a plane crash is exciting. Like, why not return to it?
It's huge. It's an event. It's
it is an event.
Poor Meredith Grey. She's had so much stuff happen to her.
She's had such a hard life. But honestly, she's moved to Boston now and she's researching Alzheimer's. And I wish her all the best.
Yeah, me too. Does that mean she's changed hospitals and therefore it's an entirely new cast now?
More or less. So Meredith is still somewhat involved in Graceland Memorial because she is still a part owner of the hospital and a member of the board. But she will not feature as heavily in the latest season, I believe. Original cast members still remaining is Bailey. Dr. Bailey's still around.
Yeah.
And the Chief Weber, he's still around. But aside from that, honestly, I think it is kind of all different from season one.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, Christina moved to Switzerland to 3D print hearts.
Yeah.
That happened a while ago.
Is this going to be the first season that Meredith Grey is not heavily featured in, considering her name is where the title of the show comes from?
I think
that
it
would be
is.
Like Sex in the City without any sex.
Oh my God. They all become Mormon or something?
Yeah. Celibacy in the country.
I'd actually watch that. That would be really interesting.
Samantha would hate that.
She would. She's already gone. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah. Of course. No, she was back. She was on the phone for a bit.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
She was like, I'm so sorry that your piece of shit husband died that I was friends with. I'm calling you and not coming to the funeral.
Yeah. So bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, we don't need to talk about the ins and outs of Grey's Anatomy. I mean, as much as the listeners are wrapped, they're like, wait, what?
Hold
Christina's
on, I need to get
doing
back on the
what?
Bus.
I gotta watch 10 seasons and catch up. It's fine. They're only 40-minute episodes in 20-episode seasons.
Oh, that's
you
nothing.
You can catch up.
And especially if you go into, because everyone, I would say... Two screen experience, very common.
Yeah.
Three is pushing it a bit. So you just got to bump that up, get to three screens.
Yeah.
You'll get through Grey's Anatomy so quick.
Oh, true. Are you imagining?
Actually,
yeah.
Grey's Anatomy while playing Suica, that is.
Perfect combo.
I honestly, I hate that I even just thought of that because, like, I've got shit I need to do.
Yeah.
I've got work to do. I've got a show to finish working on. I've got admin. I've got a chest of drawers to build. But God, do I want to lie there and watch a medical drama while hitting those fruits. It would cure everything.
It would fix you. Yeah.
But yeah, that's Suica basically. And you do all the fruits. You've got to be, and you can't like overflow the fruits. And it just has everything in terms of one of those really like satisfying, relaxing games. Like, cause there's little vibrations.
Oh yeah.
the fruits kind of slowly sometimes slide into place and then they like pop into the new one.
I was going to ask, is it a good sound when they transform from one fruit to the other?
Yeah, it's like a...
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And a little vibration. And sometimes you like have a bunch built up and they're all kind of close and you're like, oh no. And then they all just go like... They all do a big run.
Yeah.
It's real good.
That sounds fantastic.
It's really good for your dopamine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's real good.
The fruit faces,
and I think
too.
I mean, namesake of the podcast, thumb cramps.
Yeah.
I like recently had like some wrist RSI. And I honestly think Suica was a big part
too
of it. And then
gaming.
I kept trying to play it. I was like lying that I like took the what do you call the Joy-Cons?
Yeah.
I call them Wiimotes. Sort of a cute thing I do.
That is very great. Very cute. Very
cute.
Fun.
Really cute. So I had like the Wiimotes like out and I was just trying to like press it with my pointing fingers, just trying to like doing everything I could, like with my wrist guards on, trying to play. And I was like, I can't be doing this.
You need, that's so sad. That's
your
so,
RSI got
so bad you had
wrist, you had
guards,
wrist
on.
Guards on from playing a video game.
I don't think it was purely that. I think there was a few things at play that I'd like to blame.
Yeah, for
I mean, texting, driving. I'd also like ran out of my thyroid medicine and I hope that that was connected. But if I'm really raw and honest, I think like Suica did not help.
It's good to be raw and honest on this podcast.
Yeah,
thank you so much for your honesty
and your rawness.
This is what people, people are, the guy that's listening to this on the bus,
he got back on the bus.
He got back on the bus and now he's just sitting there with like.
He's driving the bus.
He's driving the bus, head in hands. He's texting his friends with the other hand.
Mm-hmm. He's, how many screens is he doing? Yeah.
Well, he's. Are we counting the bus window as a screen?
Yes.
I reckon.
Yeah. Probably. You got a dash cam? That's two screens.
Oh, yeah? GPS?
Three screens.
Plus his phone, and then his other phone, which the podcast is playing. He's got his texting phone.
Texting phone, podcast phone, and maybe a little portable black and white TV.
Yeah.
Like a security guard in an 80s movie.
Yeah. He's watching...
Got maximum screens.
Yeah, he's watching an Elvis movie from the 60s.
Yeah.
That's awesome. If I got on a bus and my bus driver didn't have that many screens, I'd get off the bus.
I gotta get off this bus. And that's why you should buy this new Thumbcramps t-shirt. That's really funny that you gave yourself RSI.
Yeah, playing too much.
And look, hey, we can blame driving and texting.
Yeah.
If that is better for your brand.
Not at the same time. Let's make that clear. Guys, don't text and drive. You might get RSI.
Yeah.
It's really dangerous.
Yeah, it's really.
And that will inhibit your ability to play Suica.
Yeah. You have to wear wrist guards.
Yeah.
You have to wear wrist guards. And I also think wrist guards, it was like for some reason, like, I just felt like, because I don't care about, like, looking hot or something all the time. I care a lot, obviously. But around the house or something. But for some reason, wearing wrist guards was, like, the least sexy thing I could imagine.
Yeah, there is something. It's hard to sex them up.
It's so Sharon Strzelecki from Gavin Kim to have wrist guards. It was just like really jumping the shark of my attract. You know, because you get to a certain age and, like, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, I've got an acne breakout, but that's fine. I still have beautiful hair, but then things start to pile up. You put a wrist guard on and you just think, is it over for me? But thankfully, I overcame it and my wrists are strong, sexy, and exposed again.
Yes!
Woo!
Oh, I'm back on the fruits.
Yes!
But do I rate it now?
Yeah.
Out of five?
Well,
out of
so
five.
Here's the system because it's a little complicated. So five is the maximum. It was out of thumbs and half a thumb is a knuck. It's out of five. That's the maximum. However, if you're considering putting it on your list for game of the year, then that's six thumbs. If it's on your list as a potential game of the year game, that's seven thumbs. If it is your game of the year, that's 10 thumbs. If it's your second game of the year, that's eight thumbs or nine thumbs.
Okay.
So if that's the system we have in place.
I think I'd say it's definitely on the list. So I'll say seven thumbs.
Seven thumbs. Huge.
I believe that the, look, I might be wrong.
Yeah.
But I do believe that your boyfriend may have coined the seven thumb term, so it's good that you've
Wow. Yeah. That's so cute.
Yeah, that is really cute.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That's beautiful.
It's also good because I might be wrong, so if listeners are trying to figure out who it is, I might have got it wrong and then they're gonna be confused.
Yeah, I wonder who coined it now. They'll be like
yeah, they're dating.
She's dating her boyfriend's Naomi Higgins. Like,
huh?
Well, that's
we're an odd couple. She's very petite.
But just very in love. And both big gamers because you've both been on thumb cramps.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, somebody at the door. I'm just going to let them in.
Yeah, let them in.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Mr. Ads. I'm here to deliver the ads. Hi, Lauren. How you doing? Nice to meet you. I'm Mr. Ads.
Wow. This man just came in.
I deliver the ads to all different podcasts, including thumb cramps. Thumb Cramps is the only podcast where they don't edit me out. But I'm here to deliver some ads. I can't stay long, so I'm going to go. Goodbye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bye, Mr. Ads.
Bye, Mr. Ads. He was here very briefly.
Yeah, he seems very
annoying. We didn't have many questions for him this time.
He just popped
so
in and
enough.
Out. An admin. Kind of a real Don Draper type.
In many ways, he is like a modern day Don Draper, I
think.
Yeah.
Well, now it's time to head to the thumbcramps@gmail.com inbox.
I love this place.
Where listeners send us emails, and then I read out the emails and then we say,
Wow.
That's
the fan base we have cultivated. Whoops.
And we're proud of it. We love every one of our fans.
Absolutely.
You're all number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful.
Number one fan. You could all have a mug that said number one fan and it would be true. or number one dad or grandpa or aunt or whatever.
We should make a mug that says, I got to get off this bus.
Yeah.
I got to get off this bus. And then underneath it, because there's no lid on this coffee. It's not a travel cup.
I always do think it's insane that you can, if you want to, take a mug from your house outside.
I see people do that. I see people walk into a cafe with like their mug, not even a travel mug.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, that's smug. Can you just make some landfill?
Absolutely.
Like, look
who do you
weird?
Think you are? But what about if you saw somebody like going for a walk, like they're just taking like a daily walk and they have a full mug of coffee from their house? What do you think
it's
about
hard,
that?
Because like, I mean, I hate it on instinct, it's like, it is like, what's the difference?
Yeah, I know. Why is that a problem? But
that's like this, you know how it's like, you should have reusable cutlery with you so you don't need to use plastic cutlery.
Yeah.
And you can buy these special sets of reusable cutlery, like in a little thing. And I'm like, all cutlery is reusable. You have a whole drawer of it.
yeah, exactly.
That is
but
true.
Also, I love to purchase an item.
Yeah, buying stuff's great. Like the only reason we don't eat like a bowl of our own, say you make spaghetti at home. You could take that bowl of spaghetti to the park. That's not a crime. You can walk that spaghetti from your house to the park. Nobody's going to stop you.
Yeah.
It's just societal mores don't let us have park spaghetti. I think that's disgusting.
Yeah. I will say that I think that taking a coffee mug outside the house is funny.
Yeah.
And I have driven my car whilst drinking a mug of coffee, just like a regular mug.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that rocks.
Yeah, it rocked. I did it a couple of times, and then I spilled a bit of coffee one time, and I gotta stop doing this.
That is gonna happen.
Yeah, well, anyway, speaking of things that are gonna happen, mm-hmm. people have emailed us. We got a lot of people weighing in on something, Lauren, that you might be able to give us an insight on, because you actually, just brought it up, sort of.
Mm.
So Jackson and I...
Park spaghetti? A lot of people
people are...
What's the best... I almost said dressing. What's the best dressing
for my pasta? What's the best spaghetti dressing? Yuck.
Hey, Thumb Cramps. I found this email address. Don't listen to the podcast. Can you just give me spaghetti recommendations?
Hey, I'm just sitting in the park with a bowl of unseasoned spaghetti and I need a dressing.
We have gone through this many times. Mm-hmm. Some guests have called us mentally ill when we brought it up. Yeah. Others totally get it.
Yeah.
But the idea of going to the shops and purchasing items... Just regular items, sometimes deeply embarrassing.
Yeah, that there's something humiliating about looking for an item you want, finding the item, and then buying it. Because then the people behind the counter know that you wanted that item.
Like, really bad.
Like, you really needed this hat.
And, clarify, we're not saying, just going into, going into a supermarket, not browsing, picking up the things you need, leaving. Yeah. Normal, fine.
Yeah.
Going into, because we really, buying a video game sucks.
Yeah, this is where it started. The idea of purchasing a video game is a sort of deeply embarrassing experience.
Going into JB Hi-Fi, looking at a shelf of video games, picking one up, walking over to the counter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, fundamentally, not only my favorite thing to do, but also literally the only thing that I can think to do at any point of time, if I have any free time at all, is to go to the shops.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
And purchase items. And that's kind of my thing. So I inherently cannot be embarrassed by that. But I think I kind of get it because do you ever, and this is level 10 shopping.
Okay.
And it's also a boomer kind of life hack, but when you need to call the store.
Yeah.
Calling the store, ask if they have something. They put it aside. Then you've got to go and you've got to be like, yeah, it's me. Mm-hmm. I called.
I wanted the voice so badly. I had to call ahead. Yeah, that's bad.
And that's when I can get a little bit embarrassed.
Yeah.
I feel I've done that before and feel deep shame. Like if I've been looking for a very particular thing and gone into a store and then let's just say I want a shirt. I'm buying a t-shirt from a shirt stop.
Yeah.
They don't have my size.
Right.
I just said shirt stop and not shirt
You said
stop.
Shirt stop as though that was like a known t-shirt retailer in Australia.
That's like if they made a special shop for boys who didn't want to go to the shop. They're hey guys, you sick of the shops? Your girlfriend always making you go to the shop? Come to shirt stop. Just pull in. It's kind of like a gas station.
You're pulling in your car.
It's the shirt stop. We just look at you and we're like, yeah, you're an XL, man. They're all XL. Let's be honest. And they just give you a shot.
Yeah.
It also feels like because in America, there's a video game store called a GameStop. As though GameStop is branched out with shirt stop.
They're doing shirts now.
Yeah.
But I get it. So say you found a nice shirt online, you want to know if it's in your size. You call up, you say, hey, I've just noticed, already embarrassing, already humiliating.
Well, no,
I noticed a shirt I like. The worst thing you could say to someone.
No, so what I've done that sucks is going into the, browsing, walking into the store, browsing. So you still feel normal because that's what clothing stores are for.
Yeah.
It's not like your pen story.
No, it's allowed. You're allowed to do it.
You're looking at shirts. You find a shirt. And then it's the one on the rack isn't in your size. So then you go to the counter and you're like, hey, do you have this in the size you want?
Yeah.
The embarrassment starts there a little bit.
Sure.
Then they say no. But then clothing stores always have this weird computer that's in the desk, under the glass, angled at a weird thing. And then they just type it away.
Yeah. You see the screen? It's like DOS. Systems are they running?
Yeah, what is going on? Anyway, and then they type away for a bit and then they're like, it says they've got one at this store 20 minutes away. Give them a call. And you're like, all right.
Because you're there. You're in front of them. You can't say no.
And they call them.
You say, hey,
The shop's always the shop you're in is always so quiet, but the shop you're calling is always so loud.
Yeah, and they're mad. They're like, yeah, well, if it says we've got it, then we should have it.
Yeah.
And they're like, Then you have to be like, can you
put
check
it aside?
Because I don't want to drive for 20 minutes and then find out you don't have that shirt.
I don't want to come there and have to make another call.
Yeah.
Okay, so please, just for the love of God.
And then check they're the like, hello, shirt stop. And then you can only like sort of hear him because it's for some reason the loudest door you've ever called. And they're like, hey, can I? I was wondering if you got this shirt in this size. And they'll be like, huh. Give me a second. And then they're gone for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
They come back. Yeah, the system says. And I'm like, I know your system says it, but can you check?
Can you take a photo? I'm going to send you my number. Take a photo and send it to my phone, please.
I'm going to drive there now. And then I'm going to pick up this shirt. And then you roll in. You're like, hey, I'm the guy who called.
Oh, they're like, oh, you're the shirt guy. And you want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Or, and then they're like, but then they're like, okay, we can put aside for you, but only for like an hour. Like, how long? When can you get here? And you're like, well, I'm at 20 minutes, so I'll be there in 20 minutes. And so then you're not only saying like, yeah, I want this shirt so bad, I'm going to visit two locations to get it. It's like, yeah, I got nothing else to do, man. What is it?
Oopsie.
Wednesday at 2 p.m. What else could I be
this
doing?
This shirt has become the most important. It's clearly the most important thing in my life right now, getting this shirt.
Lauren, you promised me at the start of the episode.
Yeah, that's true,
you
actually.
You said, don't worry about me swearing. I'm so good at it. I wouldn't do it.
Jeff.
Did I just swear?
You did.
You let out a little cuss. I'll admit it.
Oh, and now this podcast God. That... is obviously listened to by school-aged children all over the world, is no longer safe for schools.
Can we bleep it, or do you want me to say it again or something?
No, what we can do, if you'd like, is you can put in your own bleep. If you'd like to make a noise, Dusha, when he's editing it, we'll put this over the cuss.
Okay, can I do a noise?
Yeah, go for it.
Oopsie.
Now, that's knowing that that's fantastic. The noise, you are going to be tempted to swear more.
I promise I won't, because I think it would have diminishing returns.
Well, we've been in the email segment for about 20 minutes, and I haven't opened a single email.
Okay,
so
let's go.
Okay, we've covered a lot of the shopping stuff that I was going to bring up. A lot of people have emailed in. Consider that last bit
that
me
is our
acknowledging
response.
Your emails.
Yeah.
Sure, we didn't read it out word for word, but that's our...
That's our take. That's our response.
This one is from Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Subject, stopping a crime whilst listening to Thumb Cramps.
Okay.
Awesome. Good. I'm here already.
Good stuff.
So, Lauren, for a little bit of context, our listeners have emailed in. We've had like 4 or 5 get hit by cars or be in car accidents whilst listening to Thumb Cramps.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Stay on the bus.
Yeah.
Stay,
get back on the bus.
They're wearing a t-shirt that says, I've got to get in front of this bus on the road.
Dear Thumbs, I was listening to Thumb Cramps on my walk home from lunch today, and around the time I heard Jackson describing being baptized in ectoplasm, I came within inches of being run over by a Tesla.
Oh, man.
I didn't actually get hit. So I decided that it was not good enough of a story to send in, and thought that surely that was going to be the wildest thing that happened whilst I was listening. That wasn't until a mere few blocks later, I got back to my apartment, sandwich in hand, and was startled to see a strange man actively trying to get into my front door. I jumped back down the stairs and yelled, "What the Jeff?" And he sprinted away, hopped the fence, and abandoned the things on my front porch.
Whoa.
I still don't really know what happened, but I think this might have been the first instance of someone listening to Thumb Cramps while maybe stopping a crime.
That's incredible.
Anyways, I'm fine and nothing was stolen, but I'd argue it's almost as embarrassing to get startled all the way back down a set of stairs by a guy trying to get into your house because you weren't paying attention as you approached the door because you were focused on a sandwich and also a story about a ghost religion. So that's just as embarrassing as it is to purchase a physical video game in public. Happy cramping, Carter.
I really love that the guy trying to break into your home would have heard, "What the Jeff?" turned around and seen you with the sandwich.
At the bottom of
holding the sandwich with your mouth agape. Being like, "I gotta get out of here."
I mean, what I like to think about is, see, he had a sandwich, which is a normal food to be walking around the streets with.
Yeah.
What if that robber had turned around and seen him with a bowl of Park spaghetti?
Yo!
Then what the Jeff? And he's holding spaghetti? I think the robber would have, like, not even run away.
The robber would have
been like,
laid down
okay, so this is awkward, but I've got to stay. I've got to find out what this is about.
Sorry for robbing your house, but is that a bowl of spaghetti? What's going on here? Okay.
Are we doing that? Are we allowed to do that now?
Can just anyone have Pox spaghetti? That's crazy. And what dressing would you recommend? French dressing on spaghetti would be a truly insane combination of flavors.
I don't think that anyone should put any actually, I was going to say no dressing on spaghetti, but I am a fiend for pasta salad.
Yeah.
So that would make me a huge hypocrite.
Yeah, that's fair.
mayonnaise a dressing, though?
Oh, it can be. It can, it absolutely.
Or is it
can
a sauce?
I think you can make a dressing for pasta salad with mayonnaise.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Because there's a bit of like a vinegar or something.
Yeah, actually, that's true. It's not like they're just putting mayonnaise on pasta, because that probably wouldn't be great.
No.
That would be too yummy.
You'd never eat anything else. Yeah. That's why we can't do it.
They can't do it just in case they've accidentally made the perfect food. So this next story says, embarrassing retail, coffee shop QR codes. And this is from Thomas.
Okay.
Hello, video game boyfriends. I am a games developer, and this podcast is still good.
Okay.
Okay, Thomas. You know the rules. Yeah. If you listen to Thumb Cramps and you actively make video games, you've got to put me and Jackson in your game.
You have to put us in the game. That's the deal we make, okay?
That's good. I heard they're working on a game called Two Losers. But it might rain.
Oh, okay. Now I'm optimistic.
Okay, you're back.
I just read that bit.
Yeah.
It is embarrassing to make purchases, but I think I've found the worst thing.
Oh, my God. That's a bold
The
claim.
Worst thing.
So Thomas then says, buying a coffee is already Thumb Cramps canon. To be very humiliating. Jackson had a terrible experience with a coffee shop.
Oh, truly bad. Yeah.
But buying a coffee and waiting to get your little coffee club tick to get your little free coffee, is there anything worse?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Please scan my little QR code because I like my little coffees, but I can't actually afford them every day, so I need to be a pathetic little Jackson-like worm and earn my free little coffee.
Just throwing a little dig in. Fair enough.
I like the drive-by just swipe at you there.
Okay.
So crazy. I mean, I've never even thought about making a purchase but it's good. Like, I don't think you should try to fight that. Like, what a gift that you don't have the disease I have, which is like that making a purchase is not embarrassing. Mm. It is in fact the only thing that I live for. And it's financially devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because people often say, hey, the person that's serving you isn't thinking about you at all.
Yeah.
But I have worked in retail, and that is just not true.
You're thinking about them.
You're bored because you're at work.
Yeah.
So, like, internally bullying every single customer.
Well, yeah.
Passes the time.
The guy who's calling me about wanting a shirt and then arrives at the store I'm working at, I'm like, here's shirt guy. That's what I'm thinking in my head. Here comes Mr. Shirt.
Yeah. You're picturing what he looks like, exactly. And then he gets there. Does he meet expectations?
Yeah.
So you're thinking, why doesn't this guy work? What's going on?
Yeah, he got here within 1 hour, a time I just gave just randomly. I don't know why our hold policy would be 1 hour.
And then if you take that shirt, if you put that shirt aside, the whole time you're thinking, this guy loves this shirt. He loves this shirt so much, he's willing to drive 20 minutes to this location to get this shirt. It's that special for him.
Yeah. Then, like, while you're driving there, you're like, do I like this shirt that much?
Do I want to be Mr. Shirt?
But then also when you work in the shop, if you put something aside and then the person doesn't come for
you hope they die.
Like, who the
oopsie
do you think you are? You thought you said you wanted this shirt so bad you made a call for it. You made me get it. Put it aside special. And put your name on it. Now I'm nothing to you?
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing worse.
There's truly nothing worse, dude.
Than like a customer calling you and asking you to do a thing, and then you do it, and then they don't do what
they're
promised.
You don't even get the reward of meeting Mr. Shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, horrible.
That's made me angry. Sir Thomason says, it's particularly bad when they go to, like, they clearly cannot be bothered, so you need to hold your phone awkwardly while they just, like, sort out their little machine.
It's bad.
Yeah, I prematurely go, oh, I've got the app to scan. Oh, and they're like, just a second. And I'm like, okay.
But I mean, obviously the coffee shop that I go to the most has a little punch card. And that's bad because I don't know ever what to call it. So I just say like, oh, I've got the, but I'm never going to finish that sentence. Because what am I going to say? The little coffee thing? I've got...
Loyalty card, I think, is what it's called.
But even loyalty then, card. I've got the loyalty card. Oh, I've got
it's the... It's a big word.
It's a lot to say. And often you got to find, the time, when do you do it? Because the moment they say, oh, just tap on the side here, you've lost. You're not getting the card in then.
Oh, I've got a great purchase story, actually, that I think 99.9% of people... And this is the best demonstration of how unembarrassed I am to go purchase. Okay, we go to trivia every week at like a bowling club that's an old school bowling club with a bistro dessert menu is it's like a kid's ice cream, basically. It doesn't say kid's ice cream.
Okay.
It just says ice cream with sprinkles and topping.
Yep.
It's clearly for children. It's like, you know, Peter's ice cream 6-liter tub. They scoop it out. They put the chocolate topping on. And it costs $6 for this little ice cream. But trivia goes for so long, we always want a little treat.
Yep.
And so often I get the ice cream. Okay. So I went up and I bought two ice creams. But it's one of those things where you just tap and you can't see the price or anything. And so then he makes the ice cream. It takes them a while to scoop it as well. This is why it becomes embarrassing.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of annoying for them to make. They have to get the tub out and they scoop it, put a little bit of topping, scoop some topping. And it's like a funny little ice cream with a tiny little child spoon.
Yep.
I'm doing this in front of the whole pub.
Yep.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
And so he does that. He makes the one ice cream and I come and get it and it's just one. And I was like, oh no, I bought two. And he was like, oh, you only paid for one. And I was like, oh, well, can we get another one? So then he was like, okay. And he put it through and went to pay for another one. And then he goes, makes the whole ice cream again. I look at my phone and he's charged $10 per ice cream, but they're only $6.
Oh no.
And then my boyfriend's like, oh, don't worry about it. But I was like, no. And I literally like walk up and I'm like, you've charged us $10 for ice cream, but it's only $6. And he like argued with it. He like fought back. He was like, oh, it's $6 for the ice cream, but with the topping and sprinkles, it's 10. And then I had to literally say the words. I had to say, the menu says ice cream with topping and sprinkles, $6. It's inclusive.
Oh, dude.
And it was literally a back and forth. He had to get someone else who worked there.
Oh, my God.
That is how unashamed I was.
But you're then so brave.
He refunded me. It was like $8 full.
Yeah, that's another ice cream.
Yeah, absolutely. No, look, you did the right thing. But you're braver than any U.S. Marine at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's...
to be up there with my little ice cream, fighting for my life, being like, topping and sprinkles are included in the $6.
You said it wasn't a bowls club, right? So was it an old man serving you?
It was like a youngish guy, actually, but he had to get the other guy and the other guy. And the old man is like the manager.
Yeah.
It's
because of him. And I was like, get him.
Bring him. I'll talk to anyone about this.
My fight's with him. Bring him here.
I'm not moving.
So this next email is from Juan. Subject early PC gaming, because it is PC March.
That's true.
Dear Thumbcramps boys and guest, obviously they've just said guest because they didn't know you were going to be on. Otherwise, I should have just said Lauren.
Yeah.
I'm sure if they knew it was me, they would have addressed me by my name.
Yeah.
I think
my full name and title.
Yeah. What is your title?
Yeah.
Princess.
Okay. Princess
Lauren Bonner.
I'm replacing Kate Middleton.
Yeah.
That's kind of been the scandal of it.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Were you responsible for her going missing or is it just a coincidence and then you're just stepping up?
I did. She has perished at my hand.
Yeah.
So
that's incredible. That's really crazy.
Yeah, you're the first guest we've had on this show that's killed a royal. That's pretty huge.
Well done.
Big get by us.
As far as you know.
As far as we know, that's
true. That is true.
It's more common than you think.
I'm very happy to see that this month's theme is PC gaming. I'm around Joel Zammit's age, which is the other Joel, not me, meaning that most of the PC gaming was done in the very late 90s and early 2000s.
Okay.
Before the relentless march of time took away my reflexes and finger dexterity and my free time. I was wondering what games from this time period have stuck with you. If any, I still remember the stress of playing early first-person stealth game Thief and Thief 2, or the addictive Age of Empires series. I even remember the shareware demo games that came on CDs that had several games in them, games like the first Duke Nukem, Lemmings, or Microman. Hope Mr. Rads gets his aquarium addiction under control.
Sincerely, yeah, me too.
Juan. And then, so... Lauren, we call any any emailer that sends us an email and doesn't sign off with their name a coward.
Yeah.
Which has led to people sending us
way too much information to prove that they're not a coward. Full addresses, places of work.
Wow. Well, if you're so brave, why don't you call a store and buy a shirt?
So Juan has included that they have a BA in English literature, a minor in Spanish literature, an MA in the English department, they're a certified teacher for grades 7 to 12. They're an organ donor. Their blood type is O positive.
Do it.
We should probably dox him.
Yeah.
I think you're right, actually.
I think that's actually an awesome thing to do.
Yeah.
Juan, does the sort of governing academic body through which you got your degrees know you listened to Thumb Cramps? Because yeah. I think if they found out, they would disbar you or whatever happens.
Can you get disbarred as a teacher?
I don't know. They'd take away your teaching gun or whatever.
I played heaps of Age of Empires when I was young, but yeah. I am younger than you, Juan. By about 5 years, I think.
I think that the really early PC games I played would have been stuff like Lemmings, but also I think the first ever PC game I played was like probably some weird recreation or probably not a port of like the original Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
I remember my primary school just had that on the computer, so if you got there early, you got to play it. I don't know what that was. I don't know. Like, it seems like a crazy... This would have been like the really early 90s, but... yeah, that was probably my first PC gaming
really
experience.
Early 90s when you were in school.
Yeah.
You're 32 years old.
I was in school in the early 90s.
No, you weren't.
Like the mid 90s.
The mid to late 90s.
My school, my primary school was weird in that it had Max.
Oh, yeah.
Which was kind of controversial, but we had Cro-Mag Rally.
Whoa.
That's familiar.
And there was this also this bug game. I can't, what was it called? Bug. Oopsie. I don't know. But yeah, if anyone knows the
is it really
early
called,
2000s.
Is it called Bug Jeff?
But it was like a bug's life. But it was like you were a bug and you'd roll around. Bugdom.
Bugdom. Bugdom. I like your name better.
Yeah, me too.
Just Bug?
Well, no, it was,
well, it was Bug. And then it was,
yeah. Oh, I did it again.
You've done it twice since.
Yeah, you're going crazy on the swears, dude.
It's been a while on the, you know, we're coming to the end of it.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Absolutely.
We're winding down.
We are. You're getting a little loose, having a bit of fun, throwing some F's.
Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. Well, if you want to send us an email, hit us up at thumbcrampspod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And that's if you want to.
Yeah.
If you can send us an email, but one thing you have to do.
This is a requirement.
No, like, there is no instances where we will not accept this.
You know, in the real world, you buy a hot dog from a man, you have to give that man money. You listen to a podcast from us, you have to write a review, a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice. That's the money in the hot dog metaphor.
And when you give us a 5-star review, it doesn't matter what you write. Even if you hate the podcast, if you give us 5 stars, and then you can just use the little words there to say that the podcast stinks and you hate
tear
us.
Tear us to shreds, but you have to go 5 stars.
So Doom Guy says, 5 stars, I always listen to you at the gym. You're my go-to podcast to listen to combat gender dysphoria. You guys play through my headphones and I laugh silently, but with the facial expressions of laughter, and I can only imagine how deranged it looks from the outside.
That's awesome. Hell
thanks,
yeah, Doom Guy. Thanks,
and,
heaps.
We've mostly avoided this in today's episode, but Lauren, just to get us over the edge here, this is probably closer to the general Thumb Cramps interaction we have with the public.
Mm-hmm.
This is 5 stars. Thanks, boys. Cranking my dog off over this right now. Jackson's incoherent rambling always seems to hit his spot. Thanks, boyfriends.
Okay. Whacking off a dog to Thumb Cramps. That's really a funny thing for us to be involved
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
If
I mean,
indirectly,
more
you know?
Wrist cramps, really.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, make sure you give us a review, 5 stars, send us an email. And Lauren, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you.
Now, you're doing a Melbourne International Comedy Festival show this year, and you're also a podcast host. Tell us about both of those.
I am. My podcast is on a extended summer break at the moment, but we've got loads of episodes you can listen to because my co-host, Concetta Caristo, has a real job doing breakfast radio, and it's... apparently quite tiring, but we should hopefully be back at it soon. But my podcast is called Big Natural Talents. Check it out. It's very funny, cheeky, silly kind of stuff. But most importantly, yes, I am doing a show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival and the Sydney Comedy Festival. And look, tickets are pretty affordable. And if you could just really do me a solid and just come, I don't want to
have to
explain everything, look it up. I had a few great riffs on this pod today. You can't deny that. So just do it. Could you just support the arts like for one freaking second? It'll be like $20.
And you know what? Even if you're like, look, that sounds great, but I do not want to Google it. Yeah. Hey, great news. I've put it in the show notes.
You don't even have to Google it, dude.
Just click on the link and just buy the ticket now as well. Because I know you might go, oh, I could go to that. Oh, yeah, I'll decide. Just if you buy the ticket now, it's way less stressful for me. Because every day at midnight, I get an email telling me how many tickets I've sold. Most days it is zero.
Yes. So it's
still a while out, but absolutely end of April in Melbourne and in May in Sydney. So I'll see you there.
Yeah.
For real.
Well, that's very exciting. We'll be there.
Thank you. Yeah.
And we'll come to every single show.
Of course.
So the boys will be doing a meet and greet there every single show. come along and you'll see them.
So we'll be watching the show and the meet and greet will actually take place in the room, but in that like very brief moment after you leave the stage, but then everyone has to leave the venue. So the only way to, you can't sneak this in.
You got to watch the whole, you got to be there for the whole thing.
You got to watch Lauren's show.
Yes.
And then we'll
you
be there.
You have to watch the whole show. That's the deal. And if you bring a bowl of spaghetti, I won't be mad. I might like point you out and like laugh at you and that will be more embarrassing than like buying a shirt or something, but that would be funny. I mean, I don't know if the venue would let you bring a spaghetti in.
You can sneak
Just put it in your bag.
Just put it under in your pocket. Have a little pocket spaghetti.
Fill his pockets with spaghetti, get a few friends together and come on out and support live comedy. We'll see you there. It's called Imagine Having Anything at All. Yeah, but the link's in the show notes. So,
hell yeah.
Check it out.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Lauren. And thank you to all the gamers out there for listening.
Thank you. Once again, thank you gamers for gaming.
Remember, write us reviews, send us emails, and most importantly, just have a good time. And get off the damn bus.
I gotta get off the bus
at this point? What the hell? Where are you going?
You gotta get off the bus, buddy.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.